Genesis 11, and it comes from within a chapter. As you know, in the Bible, the chapter headings and verses are things that human beings have added, and they weren't there. They're just to help us zoom in and locate in the right place. So I'm going to read to you from Genesis 11, from verse 31, through into chapter 12, verse 9. And we're talking about the family of Abraham, and we start up about his father, his dad, who was called Terah. And I think he may have been a bit of a terror, but we'll read about him as well. Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, who was the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, Abraham's wife. And with them he left the city of Ur in Babylonia to go to the land of Canaan. They went as far as Haran and settled there. Terah died there at the age of 205. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a land that I am going to show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse those who curse you. And through you, I will bless all the nations." When Abraham was 75 years old, he started out from Haran, as the Lord had told him to do, and Lot went with him. Abraham took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the wealth and all the slaves they had acquired in Haran, and they started out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abraham travelled through the land until he came to the sacred tree of Moreh, the holy place of Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were still living in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "This is the country that I'm going to give to your descendants." Then Abraham built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. After that, he moved on south to the hill country east of the city of Bethel and set up his camp between Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There also he built an altar and worshipped the Lord. Then he moved on from place to place, going towards the southern part of Canaan. God help us to grasp the journey, the geography, and what he's saying to us. And there'll be a PowerPoint that's coming up. There's four slides today. Thanks. Okay. The narrative describes a judgment both on evil, and also it describes the beginning of the human struggle, and it describes banishment from Eden itself, the broken relationship, as human beings chose to know evil and do evil as well as good. And Genesis goes on, as we see today, to describe the journey back to finding a home with God. So I loved Addie's description, "I feel at home here." Now that's not because of the building, but that has to be because of the people and the relationship. It does help having a building that's cozy and that has foods on the table to make it welcoming and things like that. But the journey back to finding a home with God. And I do want you to think of heaven as finding a home with God, in being in the presence of God, in eating with all those who have been redeemed, the new heavens and the new earth. Let's have a biblical view of what this is all about. We're thinking about being pilgrims on a journey, though. And as we continue our years thinking on this thing, it's vital that we do understand why human beings are estranged from God. And also, what this estrangement, this banishment has caused in terms of the choices that we have. That we need to understand the action of God in calling us back into relationship with Him. there are new things you need to learn and I need to learn this year on our journey. We do not know it all. It's a journey of discovery. It's a pilgrimage. The necessitous coming of the Saviour, Jesus, into the world wasn't just one of the choices God had. It was the only choice to make it possible. We shorthand that into saying the blood and the cross, but it was the only way that was possible. And we need to understand that every person needs to make this journey through the door, which is Jesus Christ, and be on that journey, that road back to God. We need to understand, therefore, that all human beings are fallen, and that we need all of us to convert from our old ways. It's not just that we're saying to Muslims, you need to convert, or Jews, you need to convert, but we all need to convert and change our way of thinking, behaving, and living because of Jesus. The book of Genesis, whose author we do not know, although tradition says it is Moses, goes on to describe, after this banishment, the lostness and the wanderings of humanity. Do read those chapters of those very important incidents that are much more than historical proof or scientific description. They are that genre of literature that's describing this lostness of humanity and why Jesus had to come. We move today to God calling the legendary Abraham and Sarah. I remember their names haven't yet changed to Abraham and Sarah. That's part of the journey. He calls Abraham and Sarai out of their country, out of their land and their family to seek a land that he would show and that he is in this planning to make a new pilgrim people. He's not just calling to individuals. You read all the apparel that they take with them, all their wealth, their slaves, and all the other things, because these people were only just beginning to get to know God. Abraham was very far back from Moses and all the others. He barely knew anything about God. Please, if nothing else, remember that today. Abraham and Sarah and the people knew hardly anything about the Lord. They were far from God. There'd been no worship spoken of since Abel, nothing at all. They were far from God. Stop thinking of Abraham and Sarah, these great, fully fledged Old Testament saints. They weren't. They are not to seek an Eden restored, but a new land and a city whose builder and maker is God. The great saint, Augustine of Hippo, who was born in Algeria on the north coast of Africa in the 4th century. Everything goes back towards Africa and the Middle East. Isn't it fascinating? Says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Don't believe everything Augustine said. But what an amazing statement. That humanity is not at ease with itself. And if you want to see the struggle, then look at the life of David Bowie, who expressed so much about humanity, who expressed so much of the human struggle and creativity. Very interesting life. Amazing words to his songs. An actor, really, in many ways, rather than a singer. Fascinating, that life. We think of Abraham. How far did Abraham travel? That he had only banished going in distress from the garden. Because it struck me that actually Abraham and Sarah are not that much further on. How far did Abraham travel? Well, you know, he traveled a long way physically, but also emotionally and theologically he traveled. And in his understanding of God and of himself and how he related to his people, he was on a journey, and we are on a journey. That's what pilgrimage is all about.
It's the long, slow journey walking with God. It is like, it's not touring in a car, in a closed box from A to B. Pilgrimage is not spiritual sightseeing, or going on this or that course, or attending this or that church, or doing this or that thing. It's not spiritual sightseeing. Pilgrimage is not just reaching a destination, but what we learn on the journey, the choices we make, and the changes that happen in our lives. Okay? It's really quite serious stuff. From Ur to Haran, because you realise they didn't go right into Canaan as God had actually last, is the journey that Terah took them on, the father, the senior, the elder in the tribe. Although we will see that God had already been speaking to Abraham, he was the senior. And Ur, of course, is in modern-day Iraq. Everything we see on our screens, this is where this in modern-day Iraq, the ruins are still there, to Haran, which is on Syria's border with Turkey. And that's the first part of the journey. About 600 miles in very difficult terrain, nomadic people looking for grazing and water. So not 600 miles as the crow flies, but in all sorts of convoluted ways to find the grazing territory, to find water. We've seen that terrain, we've seen what it's like, often bleak and often barren. And this was pilgrimage. We've seen it as we've watched refugees migrating. And we've realised that amongst them may be some Abrahams and some Sarahs. Maybe it isn't as crazy when we hear somebody at Calais say, God has brought us thus far. Maybe this is his question. Terah, Abraham, and family were holed up in Haran for many years. They prospered, but eventually, it's at the death of Terah, Abraham listens to God's call again, and he continues to claim them. From Ur to Canaan, would have been about 1,200 miles, 1,100 miles. There's no reason given for God choosing Canaan, but we know that their migration happened at a time when many nomadic peoples were moving around. We can tell that from archaeological discoveries and who was around. So many people were on the move, rather like our world at the moment. They were seeking fertile grazing land. In a way, who owned the land? Possession is 9/10 of the law. Whoever is there. And that's why there were all these disputes going on all the time. But remember, although Ur was a very sophisticated place, it was very plural as a place. There were wonderful hairdressers in Ur, that's what it was most famous for, and various libraries. But they left Ur to go to Canaan. As I said, Abraham left Haran, the place, also the name of one of the sons, who's named after it, when Terah died. In some ways, he wasn't free until that happened. He kept journeying. Also, he eventually splits, and we'll look at that later, from his nephew Lot, because it seems they had different values and different purpose, different goals in life. It wasn't just that they had too many animals. And so the point came in that family where to continue the journey as God wanted, a split happened. And that is often the way that God goes on to compromise the land. It's very interesting. We see Abraham responding to God's call. But remember, as far as other people were concerned, he was just one of many people going on a journey. Were in movement and migration. It's quite likely that Terah left Ur, not so much because he felt God was calling him, but there was a threat from the Edomites, who later went on to more or less utterly destroy Ur. And that's often why people leave places. Either there's famine, or there's warfare, or there's threat. But in that, also, people often hear the voice of God calling them out and being a part of that movement. And I think that's important when we think about guidance in our own lives. But actually, we do need to be listening for God's voice on the journey, not just letting circumstances dictate. And often they do. Our families' circumstances dictate and other things, but we need to be hearing the voice of God. We think, therefore, Terah, we don't really know. God left, they stayed in Haran, although the call was to Canaan. But we know that Abraham was responding to the call of God. If we're correct, or if Stephen is correct, in Acts 7, he in fact says that right from the beginning, Abraham had heard the call of God. Although Terah wanted them to move, he was actually responding to the call of God. And at various stages, God keeps repeating the call to him as though he's forgotten it, and he keeps giving him the details of what he wants him to do. And he, remember, is just learning to start to recognise God's voice. Why do we assume just because people say they're believers, they recognise the voice of God? It's something we need to learn, and we want to learn through this year even more. We need to understand that this was all new stuff to Abraham. Have I underlined that enough? All right, he wasn't an expert. He wasn't highly spiritual. In fact, he came from a pluralistic, multicultural background, and he just started to get the idea that the Lord could speak to him and he could listen. The call and the promise is very clear, and you can read the first three verses again. Leave your country, or leave your land, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. This was the call that was given. So the call that was given to Abraham, I believe, was even before they left not just in Haran did it arrive, but before. And he knew that it was going to mean separation from all that he knew and was accustomed to. So here it is reiterated in Haran, and he decides to leave land, perhaps some relatives that were too old or too comfortable in Haran. Many people don't move on. The people of God, even when they were in exile, many of them wanted to stay. You know, they were comfortable, they were very comfortable. He moves to go to another land. He takes with him his wife Sarai and initially his nephew Lot. Now the place of Haran may have been a diversion. Maybe it was just a delay. You simply don't know in the timing of God. If God has said something to you, you need to hold on to that until it is fulfilled. Because timing for God and us is sometimes quite different. God's working on a much bigger picture. And along the way, Abraham encounters God. Don't just let that trip over your tongue. Encounters the Almighty, the Lord God of the universe. He encounters God. And he marks the places of meeting in the landscape. He builds altars. And we know that then that will move on to start to being sacrifices and so on. But these are places where God reveals himself and Abraham learns more about the God he has begun to follow. And this is all important because, as I said, it doesn't start with a full understanding of God. His family was very mixed in its religious background, much like some of ours, and the pluralism of their belief. He is called to exchange all that he knows and is familiar with and accustomed to for the unknown. You're going into a land you do not know. And we don't know the future. We don't know the future landscape. Climatically, we don't know the future of the world. Politically, we do not know the future of the world. And the nature of faith and pilgrimage is learning to walk with God. So the hymn that Lo referred to, Trust and Obey, although a simple hymn, has this profound truth of pilgrimage in it. Learning that God is faithful and therefore I can have faith. Laid a this inferno. But also, we are going to pick up new things on the journey, new ways of thinking, new ways of behaving, but also that we will need to leave things behind. And again, this exhortation came from you, Laura, from running the race. There are things that we leave behind, and there are people sometimes that we're glad to leave behind, but sometimes there's great sadness. We wanted to walk in companionship with certain people further on the journey, but we're not going to meet them again till later. Is this happening to you? Are you leaving certain things behind, and are you picking up new things? Is your journey like that? Don't need slide for you at first. Please don't go to slide four. Joshua 24 tells us about Abraham's family. Terah and his forebears served other gods. So that's the background he came out of. They served other gods. They worshipped other things. I'm pretty sure that included wealth and accruing vast herds and cattle and so on, as well as religious gods. We can tell from the names of Laban and Sarah and Milcah that most likely they worshipped moon gods. And that was the background Abraham came from, right? He was changing his faith perspective. So we see in verse 6, as Abraham arrives at the sacred oak tree of Moriah, that it's a holy place at Shechem. And often, because people felt that spirits inhabited trees, and they were taken as holy places, and sometimes people counted carved idols there, sometimes the living tree, even our own Christmas tree comes from this sort of legend. Actually, it was a holy place. It was a shrine to the gods of Canaan. Not to the one true God that Abraham was beginning to get to know. So he came to a holy place, which might be rather like us coming to a shrine of another faith. He didn't actually destroy it. He built an altar there. He, as it were, made it into a holy place. And he worshipped, which means he called upon the name of the Lord. And that's the phrase that starts to come in, meaning he started to call upon the name of Yahweh. Didn't know anything about Yahweh, didn't know what Yahweh was like, but he started to call upon the one true God. And Shechem is a place of decision. If you look at all the events that have happened at Shechem, you will see how many times people had to choose. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who am I going to serve? Who am I going to follow? Am I going to do just what my parents have done, my grandparents have done, the elders have done, or am I going to do what God is doing? God appears to him and he says, this is the country that I am going to give to your descendants. Now he was a wealthy man, he had some cattle, he had some servants, but this land is going to be for your descendants. Pretty difficult, since Abraham was barren and Sarah was barren. So he builds this altar, not to the moon gods, but to the Lord. He appeared to him. And then he moves south to the hill country, east of Bethel. He camped between Bethel and Ai. He's a nomad. He's also doing something very important. He is avoiding the centers of habitation. He is avoiding the places where he knows he can get entangled again with all the things that are going on in those centres of habitation. Lot, it seems, is far keener to live in the cities and with the others, and he, as we know, goes on to choose the places of the plain, the agricultural places. But he is avoiding the places where perhaps he could get caught up, become comfortable again, and stop the journey, and he's avoiding that. Where he significantly encounters God, again he builds altars and he worships. And he moves towards the southern part of Canaan, driven by famine, finding places to graze his herd. And eventually, as you'll see, he goes into Egypt. And the last slide of the Abraham and Sarah story is the story of a family chosen by a big household to discover God. And indeed, it isn't just his own people, but those that are slaves, that are attached to them, that come to know something of the one true God as well. They they are people journeying with God and following his voice of leading. They are not robots programmed to walk. This is pilgrimage. And this 3 year is what I want us to understand. Pilgrimage is to do with walking with God and about change and listening to God, knowing God's purposes, leaving certain things behind us, picking up on other things. Abraham is getting to know and understand God, and he starts from a very low level, like people in our own country, in the UK, where people don't even know the Jesus stories. They don't know the Old Testament stories. They know nothing. They put on a census form they're a Christian, and if you ask them what that was, most of them would not have the foggiest idea. For some of them it means I'm not a Muslim. For others it means I'm respectable and I like this lifestyle. But for many, of course, it means the real thing. I'm on pilgrimage, I'm following Jesus. Through Abraham, God will bless all the nations. Abraham certainly didn't fully comprehend this, and the nation of Israel lost the plot many, many times as they neglected their relationship with God. They were called to be a light to the Gentile world, to call others to follow the one true God and the Lord. This call to forsake all because of the call of God, to move in obedience to a place of God's choosing, is paralleled in the Gospels, isn't it? It's the same as Jesus calling us to follow and making it possible. I love this picture because it's a tangle of confusion. And Abraham had to disentangle himself from his family, his culture, his world, and so do we. If we're to be of any use in the world, you know, and to be strong enough to go into those cities and into those difficult places. So there's so much we can learn from Abraham and Sarah if we stop looking at it through romanticized eyes and Sunday school Bibles and those sorts of pictures. Let's get a bit of reality. These were real people in the real world, and it was a difficult world. His early history, we see as disentangling, says Kidman himself, from the beliefs and the practices of his father's house. And that is hard. I'm very fond of family loyalty, but the things that our parents have taught us that were wrong must be left behind. The things they taught us that were right, let's take it with us. He'd learned much in Ur and Haran, in that pluralistic situation that wasn't helpful. And he learned some things that were helpful, what it didn't mean as well. And we have many choices to make. We are adults, we are of age, we need to leave behind former beliefs and ways of doing things. And sometimes that's difficult. I don't know whether you ever felt compromised over Christmas, but sometimes when we're with our families, we actually realise we're quite compromised. That actually we can live with them for a few days, but if we lived there all the time, our values and aims and everything are quite different. Even Christians sometimes. So it's not always easy. Who ever said pilgrimage was? There are many times when Abraham lapsed back into his old way of working. And we see some of these as we look at his journey, his pilgrimage. He was a terrible liar, distorting the truth, and we'll look at that. You know, got into all sorts of trouble, and he nearly got his wife killed himself. So he was not always a truth teller. So to learn, he was going to follow one truth, but to tell the truth. We had to leave behind cultural and religious practices of the lower world. Did he move and change fast enough? He certainly didn't hesitate as much as Lot, who we were told hesitated constantly about changing and never quite got around to doing what God was saying. It must be one of the worst failings we've got of them. You know, we never quite get around to doing what God has told us to do, even though we tell our friends we don't do it. Fortunately, God is more patient than anyone we know. God required him to disentangle from certain practices and values, and that was clear. He's making new households, new people, and eventually a new nation, which wasn't finally realized until the coming of Jesus Christ 2,000 2,000 years after. When he began to listen to the call out of Ur, he began to travel with God, thank goodness, and he started a journey of discovery about God, about himself, and about others. He left behind the security of what was known, various relationships, and a whole new world opened up to him. And he didn't walk in a straight line. He needed to learn to meet with and listen to the voice of God. Sleep that side up. We have a few responses. Anything anybody would like to say or underline, disagree with or not agree with? Was it a shock to anybody that Abraham didn't come fully formed as a fully monotheistic, one God believing? Was that a shock to anybody? What was this to me? I was thinking just appeared as this wonderful.